I don't care. I think this is all bullshit. He's not going to let us die here over some childish insult. He's just trying to scare us, teach us a lesson. After he's had his fun, we'll be back in the chicken hut, and he'll be halfway across town.
I don't know, said Dave. I mean, if you're a guy who manages to acquire a set of real magical dice that can transport your perceived enemies to another world without any repercussions, I mean, that kind of power must go to your head.
I don't buy it, said Catherine. No one is that big of an asshole. He's just a fat loser who got his feelings hurt and wants an apology.
I already apologized to him, said Cooper.
Yeah, snapped Julian, right before you told him to suck your menhir. What the fuck is a menhir? Asked Catherine. It's a... Shut up!
Ahem, said Mordred.
The group turned around to find the head alive again and looking down at them.
You'd do well to take me seriously.
If you want to be taken seriously,
said Cooper,
you'd do well to stop wearing a cape.
The others laughed. Cooper doubled over in pain. A stream of shit ran down the inner parts of his legs, and he fell to the ground, clutching his stomach.
What the hell is wrong with you? Catherine shouted at the head in the tree. Were you rejected by the girl in high school who slept with the chess team and the janitors?
No, Catherine.
Cooper struggled to say between agonizing cramps. He breathed in and out a couple of times, and Catherine looked down at him with unmistakable compassion on her face.
Don't blame yourself.
Julian and Dave started to laugh. Cooper might have been laughing as well, or he might have been having a seizure. It was hard to tell. Catherine walked over and kicked Cooper as hard as she could in the gut. He threw up. Catherine jumped out of the way of Cooper's vomit, and Cooper moaned as he lay sprawled out on the ground.
You know, said the head in the tree, you aren't the first group I've sent over there. If you don't yet realize the gravity in the situation you're in, you can ask them just how much of an asshole I can be. If you survive long enough, you're bound to run into some of them eventually.
Cooper continued to lie on the ground. Dave, Julian, and Catherine looked back at the head in silence. The head in the tree grinned wickedly.
That's right. Now you understand.
He let it sink in some more, and then switched to a businesslike tone of voice.
No, you aren't the first I've sent over, but I think you might be my favorites. I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to grant you a full night's peaceful and uninterrupted sleep, and when you wake up, you'll have all of your spells and abilities refreshed and ready to go.
A tear rolled down the side of Catherine's face.
Oh, stop it, sweetie, the head mocked her. You're going to make me cry. Not enough? Okay, I'll go one further. But this is really stretching the bounds of my generosity. All of you who haven't made it to second level yet, I'll just go ahead and give you the points you need. How's that? Feel better? Good. Sleep tight.
Once again, the head lay dull and vacant in the tree. Cooper stood up.
Hey, don't worry, Cat. We'll talk to the others about this in the morning. We'll figure something out.
Catherine looked up at the sympathetic face of the half-orc and broke into a convulsion of sobs. Maintaining the presence of mind to seek out a spot relatively free of filth, she buried her face in his chest. Cooper did his best to avoid the uncomfortable antlers trying to poke him in the face and patted her head with a giant clawed hand.
Come on, guys,
he said.
We should get some sleep while we can.
We're supposed to be on watch, said Dave.
Mordred said he was going to give us a pass for the night, said Julian. Do you trust him?
Good point,
said Cooper.
He might just up and decide to kill us all in our sleep or something.
If he wanted outright murderous, argued Julian, why wouldn't he send a giant dragon down to eat us all right now?
That's a fair point, said Dave. But I'm not going to give him the opportunity to catch us all asleep. You guys go to sleep if you want to. I'm going to stay up.
Over the course of the next hour, after everyone else had fallen asleep, the previous night's restlessness began to take its toll on Dave. His eyelids grew heavy, and Julian's reasoning started to make a whole lot more sense. He leaned his back against a tree and slid down. His ass had barely touched the ground when sleep washed over him. It was deep and dark and dreamless. Chapter 18. The sun had been up for a few hours when the rest of the camp started to stir. Rays of sunlight beamed through the forest canopy as grunts, yawns, joint crackings, and groans disturbed the tranquility of the morning. They had made it through the night unmolested. Whether that was due to blind luck or Mordred keeping true to his word, Julian didn't know. He knew that it wasn't due to Dave's diligence. For all of his talk, he hadn't even lasted 4 hours, which was how long it took before Julian came out of his nightly trance.
"What's cooking?"
asked Cooper, as he walked toward the still blazing fire, licking his lips and cracking his enormous knuckles.
"I did my best to salvage the rest of that leopard," said Julian, scraping a chunk of cooked meat onto a large piece of bark that had a couple more pieces already on it. "It smells pretty awful, but it's all I could come up with."
"Smells great to me,"
said Cooper.
"I'm starving."
He popped a piece of meat into his mouth and went to grab another.
"Uh-uh," said Julian. "I was barely able to scrape enough meat off for everyone to have one piece. You've just finished your breakfast."
"How am I supposed to?"
"Blah," said Chaz. "What's that smell?"
"Breakfast," said Julian. "Leopard meat."
"I'd rather starve."
Cooper looked at Julian hopefully.
"Can I have his?"
"No," said Julian. "I was able to salvage a couple large pieces of leopard skin. Why don't you go see if you can make something with those?"
"Like what?"
"I don't know. Towels or something."
"Does anyone have any wine left?" asked Catherine, staggering toward the fire.
"My head is killing me. Oh, hey, Chaz, good morning. How are you feeling? Fuck, what is that smell?"
"Leopard meat," Chaz responded. "That's our breakfast, apparently."
"I'm not eating that shit," said Catherine.
"Butterbean!"
The wolf ran up to Catherine eagerly. "Come on, boy, we're going to catch some real breakfast."
She and Butterbean walked into the woods. Tim yawned and rubbed his eyes as he woke. He sniffed the air.
"Jesus Christ, what's that?"
"Fuck you," said Julian. "It's breakfast. If you don't like it, don't eat it."
Tim caught a brief glance of his sister before she disappeared into the trees.
"Where's she going?"
"Leopard meat isn't good enough for her," said Julian. "She thinks she's going to find something better."
"She's going alone?"
"But she's got that wolf with her."
Tim shrugged.
"Hey, Chaz, good morning. How are you feeling?"
"Shitty."
"Shittier than yesterday?"
"No," said Chaz. "Better than yesterday. Fuck, better by miles, but still kind of shitty."
"Hang in there," said Tim. "Dave said you took some constitution damage."
Chaz looked up in alarm.
"Shit," he said. "I'm a bard. My hit points are low enough as it is."
Tim laughed.
"Relax. He said it'll come back to normal after you get a couple days rest. Did you see your spear wound?"
"Huh?"
Chaz looked down at his chest.
"Fucking A. Who healed me?"
"Dave."
"Where is that dude? I've got to thank him."
He started to get up, but Tim put his hand on his shoulder and gently pushed him back down.
"You need rest," said Tim. "I'll get Dave."
He stood up and turned to Julian.
"Where's Dave?"
Julian shook his head and glanced at a nearby tree. Dave lay face down, fully dressed in his armor, on the other side of it. Tim walked over and nudged him with his foot.
"Hey, Dave!"
Dave started to pick himself up. His face and beard were covered in dirt.
"Did you sleep like that?"
"Huh?"
"It doesn't look very comfortable."
Dave wiped some of the dirt from his eyes.
"What's that smell?"
"Leopard."
Dave yawned.
"It smells like Cooper's asshole."
Tim laughed.
"Yeah, I know, but don't mention that to Julian."
"I'm right here, dickheads," said Julian.
Dave shook his head.
"Dude, we've got to talk."
"What about?"
"No,"
said Dave.
"Not just me and you. Everybody."
"Well, Catherine went out to look for something else to eat."
"Thank fuck."
"What's this about?"
"We talked to Mordred last night."
Tim pursed his lips and nodded.
"All right, let's get everyone together."
"Greeley!"
shouted Tim to the old man he had brought to camp with him.
"Would you mind pissing a little farther away from the camp? It's bad enough we've got Cooper shitting all over the place."
Julian glanced at Cooper. He didn't appear to have taken any offense or even show any acknowledgement of what Tim had just said at all.
"Sorry,"
the old man shouted back.
"I'll be more."
He stopped and sniffed the air. His eyes darted around and soon locked right on Julian's.
"That's my leopard."
He tied the cord on his threadbare pants and stomped toward Julian with what might have been murder in his eyes.
"What?"
asked Julian, taking a step back.
"None of you wanted it yesterday, and you said I could have it."
"We've all got to eat,"
Julian said, trying to stay calm.
"It's the only food we've got."
Ravenous flapped around over Greeley's head. Julian sensed the bird was ready to attack if this confrontation turned physical.
What's going on?
He squawked.
Holy shit!
Shouted Dave. Julian and Greeley stopped arguing. Everyone turned to look at Dave. Even Shorty sat up, rubbing his temples.
What's up?
Tim asked.
I can understand the bird!
Dave shouted. A shiny-toothed grin shone through his dirt-matted beard.
Who gives a shit?
Said Shorty, and lay back down.
Yeah,
said Cooper.
I mean, that's cool and all, but I've got to agree with the little guy on this one.
Dave's excitement was not lessened in the slightest. He responded first to Cooper.
Don't you remember, you giant stupid fuck?
I'm sorry,
said Cooper, twisting his pinky finger in his ear.
I didn't quite catch that. It sounded something like, please punch all of my fucking teeth out. Was that right?
Last night, Dave continued, when we talked to Mordred.
Yeah,
said Cooper, giving his knuckles another good crack.
What about it?
Don't you see, said Dave. That's why I can understand the bird. I got some extra skill points that I put toward learning Elven. We leveled up.
Cooper's face brightened.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Everybody check your character sheets,
shouted Dave, looking for his bag. It wasn't long before everyone had pulled their sheets out of their scroll tubes and were reacting to what they saw. Everyone, that is, except for Shorty and Greeley. Greeley took the opportunity to steal all of the leopard meat while the party was distracted. Dave frowned.
Four lousy hit points?
Four isn't too bad for a cleric,
said Cooper.
I have a constitution of 17, Dave complained. That's a +3 bonus. That means I rolled a 1.
Oh, yeah,
said Cooper.
That blows.
Then he yelped with excitement, looking at his own character sheet.
Sweet! I got 11 more hit points! That puts me up to 26!
I didn't level up, said Tim.
About that, said Dave, suddenly far less enthusiastic than he'd been. Mordred said that he was bringing us all up to level 2. You were already there, so I guess you didn't get any charity points.
What a shithead, said Tim. I really can't wait until we get back.
He pounded his fist into his open palm.
I am going to beat the shit out of him.
Tim, Dave said quietly.
Tim looked up at him.
That's something else Mordred talked about last night. He said we're never coming back, and I think he meant it.
What do you mean, never? Asked Tim. You mean never, never?
Yeah, said Dave. He said we're going to die here.
That's just tough talk, said Tim. He's just trying to scare you.
I don't think so, said Dave.
Let's just wait until Catherine gets back and we'll have a group discussion about it, said Tim.
All right, said Dave. I'm going to go and figure out what spells I should pray for today.
I still don't get that, said Julian. If you don't worship any particular god, then who do you pray to?
Dave shrugged.
I just pray.
You'd better go do whatever you've got to do to get your spells ready, Tim said to Julian.
Julian picked up his spellbook and found a relatively quiet spot where he could concentrate. The only spells he had to prepare in advance were his wizard spells. He picked Magic Missile again without even thinking about it. He liked that spell. The end result wasn't as awesome as he had hoped it would be when he read the description, but he liked the tingle in his fingertips and the crackle of magic running through his forearms just before the release. An extra magic missile might make a big difference, but he still resented the fact that he had to spend 15 minutes memorizing the same gestures and incantations that he'd already memorized a number of times before. He didn't bother choosing any zero-level wizard spells. That would have added another 45 minutes to his prep time, and the payoff from those shitty spells wasn't worth the time. If he needed any zero-level spells, he'd have enough as a sorcerer. Sorcery was a lot easier than wizardry. In the same amount of time it took to memorize that one lousy magic missile spell, Julian could have his entire host of sorcerer spells, a total of 5 zero-level spells and 4 first-level spells, ready to go. The best part was that he didn't even have to choose which ones he wanted beforehand. No, the best part was not having to rely on that giant goddamned book. And so a total of only 30 minutes had passed by the time Julian finished all of the preparation he intended to do. He walked back to find Chaz strumming lazily on his lute. Tim was chucking pine cones into the fire. Cooper was chucking pine cones at Ravenous, who was dodging them with ease.
Knock it off, Cooper,
said Julian. Cooper spat on the ground and threw another pine cone. Ravenous turned his head to watch it fly by a foot away from him. Tim looked up.
Finished already? That was fast.
Dave's not finished yet?
Nah, he's going to be at it for another half hour at least.
Cooper was right, Julian admitted. I should have been a sorcerer from the beginning. Wizardry kind of sucks.
They both have their advantages and dis.
Help!
Shouted Catherine. Tim and Julian jumped up at once. Julian noted with some surprise that Cooper did not stop throwing pine cones at Ravenous, and Chaz didn't miss a single note on his lute. Then it came to him. They hadn't heard the scream. Their ears weren't as sensitive as his, and... shit! Tim was gone.
Cooper!
Julian shouted. Cooper threw a pine cone at him and missed by a long shot.
Catherine's in trouble!
Cooper's face turned serious. His tusked underbite was even more pronounced than usual.
I'll get my axe.
Chaz put down his lute and propped himself up on one elbow.
Stay here, Chaz, said Julian. Get your rest. You're no good to anyone in your current state. We'll take care of this. Ravenous, stay here and keep an eye on the camp. We should be back in a few minutes. Come find me if there's any trouble.
Julian ran off in the direction that Tim had gone, with Cooper crashing through the forest behind him.
Catherine! Tim shouted. Hang on! We're coming!
Catherine screamed. As Julian got closer, he could hear the snarls and growls of a creature he sincerely hoped was her wolf.
Help me! Cried Catherine.
Julian plunged through the underbrush and into a clearing. His jaw dropped open. On the other side of the clearing, about 20 yards away, Catherine and her wolf faced off against the biggest ant Julian had ever seen. It was at least as big as a horse. Tim had obviously not been quite as overcome with the creature's awesomeness. He charged at the massive ant as fast as his little legs could carry him, and broadsided the beast with his sword. It was a solid hit. The blade of Tim's sword plunged into the ant's thorax, all the way to the hilt. He pulled the sword back out and swung around for a second strike, and then stopped. His arms dropped to his sides. Catherine was laughing.
My hero!
Catherine shouted, clapping her hands and smiling. It was only then that it occurred to Julian that the ant wasn't moving. It wasn't even standing up. Its body was flat on the ground, with its legs sprawled out in different directions. A closer inspection of its face revealed the back of an arrow shaft poking out of each eye. The wolf started snarling and growling, tugging at one end of a giant antenna. Catherine held the other end, yanking it left and right.
There's a good boy! Who's afraid of a stupid big ant? No, not you!
Why were you screaming?
Asked Tim, panting and out of breath.
I needed some help, Catherine said. I can't carry this thing back to camp by myself.
You are such a fucking bitch.
Cooper finally struggled his way out of the trees.
Jesus fuck!
He shouted and charged at the ant with his great axe.
Cooper, no!
Tim shouted, but he hadn't even managed to finish before Cooper had sliced the ant's head off.
Ha!
Said Cooper.
How do you like that, you big fucking ant?
Okay, fine, Tim admitted to his sister. That's some pretty funny shit.
After Cooper realized what was going on, even he had a sense of humor about it.
So you really took that big bastard down all by yourself?
Cooper asked Catherine as they walked back to camp. Catherine led the way, the brambles and vines seeming to move aside to let her pass, but doing no such favors for the rest of them. Tim carried the ant's head on his arms. Cooper had the rest of the ant slung over his shoulder.
Yeah, said Catherine. The poor thing barely knew what hit him. I borrowed Chaz's bow. Did you know I could fire a bow, Tim?
No, said Tim, spitting out some bits of leaf and bark from a branch that had just slapped him in the face. I didn't know that.
I didn't know it either, said Catherine. I'm really a good shot with it, too. Thwack, thwack, one in each eye.
I'm proud of you, sis, said Tim. I'm sure you'll...
Hey, you two, shut up,
said Cooper.
I've got an idea.
He put the ant body on the ground.
That's really not your strong suit, Tim said cautiously.
Fuck you,
said Cooper, grinning.
This is going to be awesome. Here, give me that head.
Before Tim had any time to object, Cooper grabbed the ant's head out of his hands and put one finger over his lips.
Shh,
he said.
Go into camp and watch Dave. Don't say anything to him. Just watch.
Tim looked at Cooper doubtfully but said nothing. He looked at the ant head in Cooper's hands and then up at Cooper's tusky grin. Some sort of recognition clicked inside of him and he smiled.
Okay, he said. Come on, Cat. We won't want to miss this.
What about the ant? Asked Catherine.
We'll come back for it.
Julian stayed behind with Cooper. He plucked the arrows out of the ant's eyes and scooped out as much goop as he could from inside the head. He put the ant's head over his own. It fit perfectly. He turned to Julian.
How do I look?
Asked Cooper.
Better, said Julian.
Cooper offered a clawed middle finger to a tree just to the right of Julian.
Only problem is I can't see.
He took the head off. Cooper circled around the outside of the camp's perimeter. Julian followed close behind him, not worried about being sneaky, as he couldn't hope to make as much noise as Cooper was. After about 10 minutes, Cooper stopped.
There's Dave,
he whispered. Dave was about 30 yards away, on one knee with his arms raised in the air and his eyes closed. He was chanting quietly, but the words were unintelligible as far as Julian could make out.
Okay,
Cooper whispered.
I've just got to make it past that tree, and then the one over there. Then the way is clear.
He put the ant head back on and stumbled toward the first tree, groping around at empty air until he found it. He repeated the routine toward the second tree, making enough noise to wake the dead. Dave was so deep in his meditation that he didn't even stir.
Bruh!
Cooper shouted as he jumped out from behind his tree, waving his arms menacingly and looking slightly to the right of where Dave was kneeling. Dave's eyes opened as wide as cue balls. He lost his balance and fell on his side. Cooper jumped up and down, hopping from one foot to the other.
Bruh! Bruh! Bruh!
A few more seconds of this passed before Dave was able to summon the wits to scream, and then only a few more seconds before he realized what was going on and stopped screaming. Cooper's shouting turned into laughing, and he slapped his big meaty thighs. Laughter sounded from the direction of the camp as well. Dave turned around to see everyone peeking out from behind trees at him, chuckling up a storm.
Fuck all of you guys, Dave shouted.
He scrambled on the ground, trying to stand up. Before he succeeded, he found a nice fist-sized rock.
And fuck you too, Cooper.
He chucked the rock at Cooper. It bounced off of his ant mask.
Ow!
Echoed Cooper's voice from inside.
What the fuck, man?
You think that was funny?
Yeah,
said Cooper.
I thought it was fucking hilarious.
You could have waited until I finished my prayers. I was almost done.
All right, dude, calm down,
said Cooper, tossing the ant head to the ground.
Go ahead and finish up your prayers.
I have to start from the beginning now, said Dave. I need a full hour of uninterrupted concentration.
Oh,
said Cooper.
That blows. Well, you better get back to it then. By the time you're done, breakfast should be ready.
Breakfast?
Asked Dave. The anger had left his voice. He licked his lips.
What's for breakfast?
Cooper gestured down at the head on the ground.
Ant,
he said, grinning.
Are you sure we can eat that?
I do it all the time on those survival shows,
said Cooper.
They're arthropods. They probably taste like lobster.
Your mom tastes like lobster.
Nice one,
said Cooper. Dave raised his middle finger at the camp and got back down on one knee. He looked up at Julian and Cooper.
You mind?
Right,
said Cooper.
Come on, Julian. Let's go get that ant.
So, said Tim when Cooper and Julian returned, does anyone know the proper way to cook ant?
I say we just chuck it on the fire and let the meat boil in the juices,
said Cooper.
The shell will just act like a pot.
After waiting for any objections and hearing none, Cooper went ahead and dropped the ant body onto the fire. After a few minutes, a tendril of steam rose out of the hole where Tim had punctured the thorax.
How long should we wait? Asked Catherine.
We don't want to take any chances, said Tim. This is a big fucker, and we want to make sure the meat cooks through. Let's give it until Dave finishes his prayers.
Who's he praying to, anyway? Asked Catherine.
Jesus?
He's not praying to anyone, said Tim.
I don't understand.
He didn't choose a god when he made his character, Tim explained. He chose two spell domains, destruction and healing. I guess he's praying to those.
I don't see how.
You should be able to understand this better than anyone, said Tim. His spells work the same way yours do. Did you choose a god?
I didn't choose any. Wait a second. I have spells?
Of course you have spells, said Chaz, with some irritation in his voice. Where the hell do you think those wolves were coming from that disappeared after a few seconds?
That was a spell? I thought it was just something I could do.
Nope, said Tim. It's a spell.
but I didn't pray for it.
Can you do it now?
Catherine closed her eyes and steepled her fingers. She opened her eyes and put her hands down.
No, she said. There were some words I said or something. I don't remember what they are now.
Shit, said Tim. Hurry up. Go and prepare your spells. Fuck, we're never going to get out of here.
How do I prepare my spells?
Look at your character sheet, said Tim.
There should be a list of spells that you can cast. Pick which ones you think will be the most useful and meditate on them.
Okay, she said uncertainly.
Hey, Bard, Tim called out to Chaz. Did you get your spells ready yet?
Yeah, said Chaz. Finished that up a while ago.
Thank fuck, Tim muttered.
He turned to Cooper.
If you don't mind, we should really get that fire going a little stronger. Can you go rip some dead branches off of some trees or something?
No problem,
said Cooper. He ran off into the woods.
Don't go too far, Tim shouted after him.
Anything you'd like me to do? Asked Julian.
Shut up, said Tim.
Can do, Julian said bitterly.
No, really, said Tim. Shut up. I thought I heard something.
Julian shut up and concentrated.
Did you hear it?
Tim whispered.
I hear quite a lot of crashing and thrashing about over there, said Julian.
No, said Tim, peering off in another direction. That's just Cooper tearing down trees. I thought I heard something over there.
Julian followed Tim's line of sight, but all he could see were trees.
What did it sound like?
I don't know. It just sounded like something other than normal sounds of the woods.
Should I get the others?
No, said Tim. It might have been nothing. Let them focus on their spells. God knows we'll need them.
What about Cooper?
He's getting firewood. We need to get that fire going stronger if we're going to eat that ant meat.
He stopped to think for a moment.
Still, tell Ravenous to be ready to go if anything jumps out of the trees to kill us.
Julian called Ravenous and relayed Tim's instructions.
Are you expecting something to come out of the trees and kill us?
Asked Ravenous.
This is CNC world, said Tim. I'm always expecting something to come out of the trees and kill us.
Ravenous nodded.
Shall I scout the perimeter?
He offered.
Fuck no, said Tim sharply. The last thing we need is for you to be off fucking some floozy bird while we're getting ripped to pieces by a bunch of ogres or something. Stay where we can see you.
I'll just wait up in the top of this tree here then, shall I?
Suggested Ravenous.
Good view from up there.
Fine, said Tim.
Julian nodded his agreement with Tim's decision, and Ravenous flew up into the higher branches of the tree. Tim and Julian stood still and listened, neither of them hearing anything but the sound of branches being ripped off of trees off in the direction Cooper had gone. From the sound of it, Cooper was really enjoying the task. They continued listening, bows in hand, ready to fire. Time passed. It might have been as few as 15 minutes, or up to an hour. The uneasy feeling that there was something out there watching them, combined with the strain of continuous diligent listening, made it seem like much longer. They were only able to cap it at an hour because nobody had returned from their meditations yet. When the source of the sound finally gave itself away, it wasn't with the crack of a twig, but rather with a horrified and incensed outcry.
In the name of all the gods!
An all-too-familiar voice shouted.
What is the meaning of...
Julian nearly jumped out of his skin.
Ravenous, go! He shouted. Find Cooper!
Ravenous flew off. Captain Righteous Justificus Blademaster stepped into view. He was dressed in polished silver armor with golden accents. It showed no signs of ever having seen combat, but it looked more than capable of holding its own in one. The same held true for the huge steel shield he carried in one hand and the longsword he brandished in the other. This was not what he had been wearing when they met him a couple of days ago. This looked to be more like what Julian imagined a knight might wear to church or something.
You! Tim said.
I thought I might find you boys here, said the captain. Where are the rest of you?
They're gone, Tim lied.
Like hell they are,
Captain Righteous said, taking a step forward. Tim and Julian took a step backward in response, holding up their bows, but having little confidence in them being able to penetrate the captain's impressive suit of armor.
Give me the half-orc, and I'll let the rest of you live.
Listen,
said Julian, feeling about as menacing with his bow as a baby brandishing a soggy cookie.
You've got the wrong idea about Cooper. He's not a bad guy. And he didn't kill your man. I mean, not really.
The captain regarded him in stern disbelief and then sheathed his sword. Julian breathed a sigh of relief and lowered his bow.
Not a bad guy, the captain repeated to himself. Didn't really kill my man.
Julian smiled. Captain Righteous did not.
Then how do you come to be in possession of this?
He bellowed, reaching behind his shield with his free hand and producing the head of the slain guard. The head winked each of its eyes alternately and waggled its tongue at Tim and Julian, all out of view of the captain holding it.
You need to put that shit away when you're done using it, said Tim.
The captain was dumbfounded for a second, which wasn't an expression they were used to seeing on his face.
What unspeakable acts of...
I'm sorry, said Tim. That came out wrong.
The captain dropped the head to the ground where it lay still. He drew his sword again and took another step forward, moving past a tree that had, up to that point, been obscuring his view of Chaz. He stopped.
Who the hell are you?
He demanded. Chaz neither stood up nor answered the captain's question. He simply started strumming his lute and began to sing.
Hush, little baby, don't say a word. Papa's gonna buy you a...
Tim collapsed to the ground in a heap and began to snore. Julian glared at Chaz.
Oops,
said Chaz. Captain Righteous shook his head.
Last chance, he said to Julian. Save yourself. Tell me where the half-orc is.
Chapter 19. One by one, Tim's senses came back to him. As he lay in darkness, he could feel something prodding into his ribs. He wasn't exactly being kicked, more like nudged with a foot. A familiar smell invaded his nostrils. Boiled crawfish? No, not exactly. Something not unlike it, though.
Tim!
Someone said from directly above him.
Tim, wake up!
Sleep felt too good. He'd just pretend he couldn't hear, just for a few more minutes.
Tim!
Came the voice from above, more insistent than last time. Nudges turned into kicks. Sleep wasn't going to be an option. Tim yawned, rubbed the sleep out of his eyes, and looked over to his right. Greeley and Shorty were cowering behind a rock, gesturing at Tim to be quiet and not give away their presence. What's going on? He looked straight up and found Julian staring down back at him. Julian nodded forward. Tim followed Julian's nod to find a pair of shiny steel boots standing in front of him. Above the boots, Tim slowly raised his head. Shiny steel shield. Shiny steel breastplate. And finally, the shiny steel gaze of Captain Righteous Justificus Blademaster. Shit. The situation came back to him all at once. He pushed himself backward with his feet and elbows.
Listen, Julian pleaded, taking a step back. I know this looks bad, but we're really not the guys you want.
That's right, said the captain patiently. I want the half-orc.
No, said Julian. You want our cavern master.
The captain paused.
Shorty?
What?
Said Julian. His eyes flickered toward Shorty's direction and back again. Shorty grimaced, but remained hidden behind the rock.
No,
said Julian. Captain Righteous snorted a condescending laugh.
Cavern Master! Did he tell you to call him that? Kind of a lofty title for that little imp. Don't worry, I'll take care of him after I take care of your lot.
No, said Julian. I wasn't talking about Shorty.
He was interrupted by what sounded like an elephant charging through a bamboo field. Cooper emerged from the trees with half a forest's worth of dead branches in his arms.
Guys,
said Cooper between pants, his face hidden behind the load he carried.
We have a problem.
No shit, said Julian.
Huh?
Said Cooper, dropping the branches.
Shit,
he said.
What's he doing here?
You!
Shouted the captain, turning to face Cooper.
At last, you will pay for your heinous crimes!
Dude,
said Cooper.
Now is really not the...
came the muffled sound from behind the captain. He turned to face the new threat. It appeared to be a short, stout, humanoid figure with the head of a giant ant and a beard. The captain stumbled back.
What the hell is...
Rock-a-bye baby in the treetop,
Chaz sang as he strummed his lute. The captain paused and yawned.
In the treetop? Why would a baby...
His musing was interrupted by another yawn.
When the wind blows, the cradle will rock.
Surely it's a lot more practical... and a lot less dangerous to just keep the kid on the...
When the bow breaks, the cradle will fall.
That's exactly the sort of thing... I'd be worried what happened
He fell to his knees and dropped his sword on the ground.
And down will come baby, cradle and all. What kind of parents? What kind of song?
The captain fell forward into the dirt. Julian looked at Chaz. Cooper looked at Dave.
Nice work,
they both said. Dave took off the ant head.
Just a little something a big asshole taught me.
Chaz stopped playing his lute.
You know, he's right. I never thought about how fucked up that song is.
Guys,
said Cooper,
we're in some deep shit. Where's Catherine?
Tim looked down at the captain.
If we tie him up, he won't be any threat. We might even be able to calm him down if we can get him to listen.
It's not him I'm worried about,
said Cooper. He pointed at Dave.
It's him.
Me?
Dave asked.
No,
said Cooper.
The little guy whose head you're holding. I think his friends and family are coming back to look for him.
Shit, said Julian. How many?
I don't know,
said Cooper.
I saw maybe four or five.
Hey, boys, shouted Catherine, running into the clearing with Butterbean following close behind. We've got a problem.
She stopped to catch her breath and looked down at the captain.
Who's that?
Another problem, said Julian.
What's wrong?
More ants are coming, she said.
Shit, said Julian.
How many did you see?
I don't know. A lot.
That's too many, said Dave. We have to get out of here.
Where?
Asked Cooper.
How?
Tim spoke up to the crowd circled above him.
What about the cart?
What cart?
The one we were in when we arrived here.
The one that got torn to shreds? Asked Julian impatiently.
Sure, said Tim. I mean, we ripped the cover off, but it's still got wheels, right?
Julian thought for a moment.
Hell, there was plenty of grass around there. The horses might even still be okay.
Tim sat straight up.
Hurry up, he said. Grab whatever shit you can carry. We have to get out of here now.
Cooper tore down the canvas from the bushes where he had attempted to make a shelter and spread it on the ground.
Throw all your shit on here,
he said. While everyone did that, he went over to the ant on the fire and ripped its legs off one by one. Each leg ended with a chunk of steamy white meat, and it didn't smell at all unpleasant. A din of clicking, chattering, and buzzing penetrated the clearing.
What the hell is that? Asked Julian.
Ants,
said Cooper and Catherine in unison.
Shit, seriously?
What do we do with them?
Asked Tim, looking down at the captain, getting nothing in the way of response outside of uncomfortable silence and averted glances. He explained the options as he saw them.
If we leave him here, it amounts to the same as outright murdering him. We'll have to bring him with us.
But won't he just try to kill all of us as soon as he wakes up again? Asked Dave. I mean, we've gotten lucky a couple of times. That luck is going to run out sooner or later if we keep this jerk alive.
Are you comfortable leaving him here to be eaten by ants?
Asked Tim. Dave lowered his head.
No. He'll be less of a threat without a sword, said Julian.
He picked it up and swung it around to get a feel for it. From the look on Julian's face, Tim guessed it felt pretty good. It was truly a beautiful piece of craftsmanship.
Okay, said Dave, shrugging. Should I wake him up?
Tim took a second to think. The ant noises were growing louder. Treetops swayed just beyond the perimeter of the camp.
Cooper, do you think you could carry him?
Cooper snorted.
Sure.
He brought the four corners of the canvas together and held them with one hand. With the other hand, he scooped up the sleeping captain and hefted him over his shoulder.
Want to take a ride?
Okay, said Tim.
He hopped up on top of the makeshift sack, made himself as comfortable as he could, and readied his bow.
Let's get out of here!
Julian and Dave led the way along the path Cooper had cleared on the way to the camp. Cooper took up the rear with the captain on his shoulder and a huge bag dragging behind him, with Tim riding on top of it. The ants' heads started peeking into view as soon as the party had started moving. Tim fired an arrow at one, but it went wide and hit a tree. The ant he had fired at didn't even look distracted. Several of the ants gathered near the fire, their antenna moving wildly about in the presence of their fallen, charred, and now legless brother. Chaos turned to order as a different sort of ant came onto the scene. It was bigger than the others, and the carapace was thick and spiked on the front shoulders. It had mandibles like jagged scimitars. A few clicks and a whir from this ant, and the others got into formation and began marching behind, heading straight for Tim. Cooper ran as fast as he could, but was held back by the weight of the captain and the drag of the sack. The ants were gaining ground, and Tim's arrows seemed to have little to no effect at slowing their progression. Cooper hadn't taken more than a few strides when the captain woke up and demanded to know what was going on.
"Fucking hell!"
Cooper shouted.
"Take a look behind us!"
The captain picked up his head.
"Oh, shit!" he said. "Put me down! We'll move faster if you aren't carrying me!"
"Do you promise to behave yourself?"
"Yes, by the gods!" he shouted. "They're gaining on us!"
"How do we know we can trust you?"
The captain sighed.
"I swear by the sword that was passed down to me by... Hey, where's my sword?"
"We're keeping it safe for you,"
said Cooper, in as motherly a tone of voice that his half-orc throat could muster.
"You can have it back when you promise to stop trying to murder us with it."
"Cooper!" Tim shouted. "Put them down, goddammit! They're right on top of us!"
He fired an arrow that finally connected with the soldier ant's eye. The ant let out a scream that sounded like a lion roaring through an electronic voice synthesizer. Cooper set the captain down. Captain Righteous stared into Cooper's eyes.
"This isn't over!"
"Fuck off,"
said Cooper.
"Move along before we're all ant shit."
After a few more strides, he heard the captain shout again.
"Hey, wizard!"
"Actually, I'm more of a sorcerer now," said Julian.
"Give me back my sword!"
"No," said Julian.
"Shit!"
"Cooper!" Tim shouted. "Run faster!"
The soldier ant was nearly right on top of Tim. He scooted backwards on the sack, but there wasn't much farther he could scoot. He fired another arrow, but missed the eye and bounced off the ant's shoulder.
"Ow!"
Tim screamed as the ice tong-like mandibles caught hold of his foot. The ant immediately stopped running, trying to pull Tim off the sack. Tim dropped his bow and held on with both hands.
"Tim!"
Cooper shouted.
"Keep running!"
Tim shouted in response. The ant not only stopped moving its legs, but also started curling its body around, as if it were trying to sit up. The pain in Tim's foot was excruciating. It felt as though the creature might actually succeed in ripping it right off. All Tim wanted to do was to cry, puke, and pass out, but he forced himself to hang on. The ant finished curling its body around, and now Tim could see why. The back of its abdomen ended in a giant stinger. A dark brown liquid oozed out from the end of it. Tim kicked frantically with his good foot, but that only ended up providing the ant with a suitable target. The stinger pierced the bottom of Tim's foot, and Tim felt the burning heat of the acidic venom flow inside him. He was too agonized to scream. His eyes and his jaw clenched shut. With all of his strength, he kicked his legs as hard as he could. It was enough to shake the ant loose. The ant rolled over, briefly halting the progress of the worker ants behind him. This would be the perfect time to finish the fucker off if he still had his bow. The soldier ant quickly got to its feet and resumed the chase.
"You okay back there?"
asked Cooper. Tim looked down at the bleeding messes that used to be his feet. He choked back a sob.
"Just keep running," he said. "Run like a motherfucker!"
Adrenaline took charge over fear and pain for the moment, and Tim grabbed the short sword from the scabbard at his side. He waited for the ant to come to him. Acid burned in his foot, and hatred for insects burned in his brain. He waited.
"Come on, you big motherfucker!"
Tim shouted.
"There's plenty more of me left! Come and get it!"
That was a lie. This was the second time he'd had his feet mutilated by an oversized animal. There was not, in fact, much more of him left. He was probably down to a single hit point. He was barely holding on to consciousness. The soldier ant moved in for the kill. Tim held onto the sack with one hand and held his sword in the other, his vision blurred with tears and sweat. Tim looked into one huge remaining functional eye of his attacker. He saw neither pity nor malice, no cunning plan of attack, no sense of self-preservation, just a target, a mission, and a robot-like determination to carry it through. When it was close enough, it opened its mandibles wide. If it closed them again, Tim would be dead. Tim also lacked any plan more complicated than kill ant. His sense of self-preservation was bleeding out of his feet. He brought a short sword down as hard as he could and sliced the ant's face in half. Dark red blood, hot and sticky, spattered all over Tim's face. The soldier ant's jaws let go of Tim, and it collapsed to the ground. The workers who had been following it huddled around, chittering confusedly for lack of clear orders. Tim's adrenaline rush subsided, and the pain returned. He lost his hold on the sack, slid off onto the ground, and threw up. He tried to push himself up with his arms, but as soon as he put any pressure on his feet, he screamed and collapsed face first into his own puke.
Shit,
said Cooper as he stopped running. The next thing Tim knew, Cooper was kneeling over him.
Looks like you took one of those fuckers down,
he said.
Good job.
He picked up Tim's short sword and carefully placed it back in its scabbard, as if he were playing with a doll.
Cooper!
Tim wheezed. The pain in his right foot was excruciating, but the pain in his left foot, where he'd gotten stung, was worst of all. It had started to make its way up his leg.
You've got to get out of here! Take care of Catherine!
Come on, big guy,
said Cooper.
Dave will fix you right up. Good as new.
Cooper picked him up and tucked him under his arm like a football. The smell was so atrocious that it temporarily distracted Tim from the pain in his feet. Tim coughed up some more vomit. It ran down Cooper's arm and dripped off his elbow, but Cooper didn't even seem to notice. The ants quieted down until only one of them could be heard. It might have been just Tim's imagination, but he had the distinct impression that the clicks and buzzes he was now hearing were new orders. Cooper grabbed the corners of his sack and resumed his retreat. Just as Tim had feared, the ants seemed to be getting organized again. They parted from the path, and another soldier ant stepped into the commanding position.
Fuck,
said Cooper, taking a peek behind as he ran. The trees were thinning out, and the path was getting grassier. They were nearly out of the woods, but only in the literal sense.
I see the wagon, Julian shouted, somewhere ahead of them.
After another few seconds, Tim could hear other familiar voices.
Greeley! Shouted Dave. Go wait in the wagon!
Then came the captain's voice, nearer than Dave's had been.
You have your magic, he said. Don't make me go into battle with no weapon!
No way, said Julian. You're just gonna have to sit this one out, Captain. If you want to come with us, you can go wait in the wagon.
But if you're going to fight all of those ants, you'll need my help.
Fight them? Said Julian. If we wanted to fight them, we would have stayed where we were. We're going to get the hell out of here.
And how do you propose to do that?
The captain argued.
Bandits have made off with the...
He stopped and then spoke up again.
Oh, right.
Now that the trees had thinned out, Cooper was making much better time. The ants were still a healthy distance away, but they were gaining ground just the same. Tim heard his sister's voice.
Where's Tim? He's with Cooper. Julian shouted back at her. They ought to be coming out any time now.
And then Tim felt the light of the sun on his face. He looked up and saw that they had cleared the last remaining trees of the forest. He saw his friends up ahead. He saw his sister. He saw Shorty and Greeley scrambling into the back of the horseless wagon. Then he turned his head to look back in the direction they had come from. He saw ants, dozens of them, maybe hundreds. They crawled out from between the trees all along the perimeter of the forest.
Dave!
Cooper shouted.
What?
Dave called back. Tim looked ahead. Dave's face was as gray as ash.
Get over here! Tim's hurt! He's hurt bad!
Tim!
Catherine shouted, running towards Cooper. Julian ran after her, and Dave followed in behind him. They reached Cooper a few seconds later. The soldier ant in the lead was already tearing a hole in the sack.
Take Tim!
Cooper shouted. Before Tim had time to register what was happening, he was wrapped in one of Cooper's enormous hands. A second later, he was sailing through the air. He thought of his feet. Landing is going to hurt. Landing did hurt, though not half as bad as Tim had expected. Julian caught him and placed him gently on the ground in front of Dave. Catherine gasped.
What happened to his feet? He'll be okay,
said Julian, without much conviction in his voice.
Dave, can you fix him?
I'll do what I can, said Dave.
What about Cooper?
Tim asked. Cooper was facing the approaching ants. He drew his great axe. Without the trees to limit the ants into a single line, they began to spread out. A worker ant crawled up next to the soldier ant nearest Cooper. The soldier ant climbed up onto the sack and looked down at him.
I'm really angry,
Cooper declared, and swung his axe down at the soldier ant's head. The blade cleaved straight through the head and lodged into the head of the worker ant, killing the former and severely wounding the latter. The worker ant made a half-hearted attempt to bite Cooper, but failed. Catherine's wolf rushed up and finished the job by tearing a leg off.
I heal thee!
Tim heard Dave shout above him and felt the palm of a hand touch his forehead. Tim opened his eyes wide, sucking in so much air that it seemed he should have expanded to twice his size. He looked down at his feet. They had already stopped bleeding, but were still torn and misshapen. Tim moaned, half in ecstasy and half still in pain.
"Are you okay?" asked Catherine.
"No,"
Tim groaned.
"Let me try again," said Dave.
"Hurry it up, guys,"
Cooper shouted, bringing his axe down on another ant. Tim looked back. The workers were starting to surround Cooper, and there looked to be no end of them coming out from the trees. He even spotted a few more soldiers hurriedly making their way through the workers toward him.
"I heal thee,"
Dave shouted, laying his hand on Tim's forehead again. Relief hit Tim like a wave smashing against a rocky shore.
"Oh my fucking God, that feels good,"
Tim shouted. He jumped to his feet and stomped on the ground.
"You know, it's worth having your feet gnawed off by ants just to be healed like that."
"You're about to get another chance,"
said Cooper, backing up.
"Is everyone okay now?"
"I'm good," said Tim.
"Let's get the fuck out of here,"
said Cooper, holding two ants at bay with his axe. Julian, Dave, Catherine, and her wolf started running toward the wagon.
"Come on,"
Tim shouted at Cooper. Cooper swatted an ant off the top of the sack with the flat of his axe, grabbed the corner of the canvas, and shouted at Tim,
"Run!"
Tim and Cooper raced toward the wagon with a swarm of giant ants in tow. Cooper soon overtook Tim and plucked him up off the ground with his legs still flailing in the air and slung him over one shoulder. Tim could hear the half-orc grunt as he ran. He wasn't dragging the sack behind him anymore. He was carrying it up off the ground in his right hand. The rage, Tim thought. He's even stronger now. He looked up. Giant ants were still pouring out of the woods.
"Everybody in the wagon,"
shouted Cooper when he got within 30 yards of the wagon. His raging sprint had put some distance between them and the ants, but it wouldn't be long before the ants closed the gap.
"Can we all even fit in there?" asked Dave.
Cooper had reached the rest of the party by that point and answered Dave's question by picking him up and throwing him into the wagon. He tossed the sack unceremoniously on top of Dave and then set Tim gently down.
"I don't get it,"
Catherine said to Julian at the front of the wagon.
"Where are we supposed to get horses?"
"Let me take care of that," said Julian.
"Can you ride?"
"How the fuck would I know how to ride a... Oh, wait, come to think of it, yes, I can."
"Cool," said Julian. "Then you ride up front with me."
"Ride what?" asked Catherine.
"Horse,"
Julian shouted at the empty air. A brown horse appeared in front of him, complete with bit, bridle, and saddle.
"Nice," said Catherine. "But won't it disappear after a few seconds? I mean, that's what happens when I magic up a wolf."
"Nah," said Julian. "This spell lasts a good 2 hours."
He turned away from her.
"Horse,"
he said again. A second horse appeared. This one was black, with patches of white spots here and there, but similarly equipped. The horses remained perfectly still while Julian hitched them to the wagon. Tim stared in fascination. Horses, saddled and bridled, just appearing out of thin air like that. For such a mundane, often overlooked spell in the game, it was really something to witness firsthand. He watched Julian and Catherine mount their mounts, and then his enchantment was interrupted. Someone lifted him off the floor.
"Sorry, little dude,"
said Chaz.
"We're going to have to sit on each other's laps until we get clear of those ants."
Tim looked around. Shorty sat on Greeley's lap across from him and Chaz. Dave sat alone next to Chaz, being too heavy to sit on anyone else's lap and not having much in the way of a lap himself. Across from Dave sat Captain Righteous. Cooper stood behind the wagon, brandishing his axe at the first line of ants, who were now only yards away. Tim wondered what was going to happen if he attempted to sit on the cap.